Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Psachim Nun Beis. We're on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, and resuming our discussion regarding avoiding machlekes. Mishnah says if a person happens to find himself in a place which has a certain type of minik, so although perhaps he's not bound by the minik hamokim because he intends on returning back to his former town, he's date lachsa. Still, the Mishnah says al yishana adam v'pnei machlekes. A person should not deviate from the minik hamokim. Avoid machlokes. Go along with the flow. Says the Gemara two lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Safra l'Rabbi Abba. Rav Safra turned to Rabbi Abba. K'goinanon. For example, we, the Adinan v'kviya diyarcha. We know when Rish Chodesh was established. So they came from a town where they knew when Rish Chodesh was established. They knew what the Yomtiv is meant to be. And therefore they only had to keep one day Yomtiv. But now they happen to find themselves in a different town where they were not aware of the day of the Chodesh, and they didn't really get word from Bezin, so they have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. Now, we're Dai to Lachsa, we intend on returning back home, so we're not really bound by the din of this current location. But we're meant to avoid Machlekes. So, be Yishuv Le'avidna, we're not meant to do Malacha in the Yishuv, in the inhabited area. Rashi says, since they are noyak to do Isser on the second Yom Tov, we're not meant to do differently. So, b'yishuv le'yavidna, in the town, I won't do malacha. B'pnei shina machlekes, because of the concern of being mishana, which can create machlekes. B'midbar mai, what about out in the midbar, in the uninhabited areas? Mefarshim say, this is referring to at least outside the tchum, outside the 2,000 amma boundary of the city. So, it's not in their presence. Is there a concern of doing malach on the second day Yom Tov out in the midbar? Amar Lei, Sir Abba responded, Hachi Amar Rami, be Yishuv Asar, be midbar Mutar. In the Yishuv, one cannot do malacha. In the midbar, one can. So he's speaking that he really lives in a place where they only keep one day Yom Tov, and he intends on returning. So he's not bound by the din of this makam. So al pi din, he may do malacha. The question is to avoid machlokes. Just make sure it's out in the midbar, or you won't be noticed. Tosis points out that in the yishuv, the actual inhabited area, apparently he couldn't do malacha even betzina, even if it's not in public. Now Tosis asks, we learned earlier in the Fnan Aleph that there was a story with the chaylev where he ate chaylev, even though in the current in the bubble where he was found, where he was present, they wouldn't eat chaylev. The Gemara says because he intended on returning back home to Eretz Yisrael, so he was not bound by the minhag hamakom, but he did a betzina. He made sure not to do it publicly, right? The talmidim came, they recovered it. So why is this different? We say he can't do malacha even if it's betzina. Why can't he do it if it's not public? So Tosfos says because malacha you can't do betzina. It's different than just eating chaylev, just eat it and move on. Malacha is something, the Mefarshim explains, something which generally makes waves and it's noticeable. Therefore, the Chachamim disallowed malacha in any case. In this situation, as long as he's b'yishuv, avoid malacha altogether. But with midbar, he can do so. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nosson bar Asya. Ozal mi b'rav l'humpadisa. This fellow, Rav Nosson bar Asya, lived in a town where they would only keep one day Yom Tov. And he traveled on the second day Yom Tov. Azal mi bei Rav, from the yeshiva of Rav, lepum bedisa. And that location, they would keep 2 days Yom Tov. So he publicly negated the second day Yom Tov. This took place by Yom Tov Sheni Shlatzeres, and second day of Shavuos, Sham Tov of Yosef. Yosef put him in Chir, as a Oynish. Omele Abaye, v'le nagde mar negidi. Why don't you give him Malkus? Why do you prefer this over that? Give him Malkus, Malkus Mardus, which is applied to a person who is over on Divrei Chachamim. Amalei, Servesa responded, Da Adifa Avdilei. Actually, I did something more severe than Malkus. As we see, Dibimarava in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu, they would gather a consensus, they would vote, Anegida Debar Be Rav, to issue Malkus to a Talmud of the yeshiva who did something wrong, mimnu ashamta, but they wouldn't vote on issuing a cherem. Rashi explains, because shamta, cherem, is more chomer, more severe, and they were concerned about negating the kavod ha-Torah. So apparently cherem is more severe, and actually that's what I applied. Apparently Rav Yosef was very concerned about the public negation of bittul of the Yom Tov Sheni, therefore he applied the more severe punishment. Ikadami is another version of what happened. Nagdi Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef actually applied Malkus. Amalabai nishamtimai. Why don't you give him cherem? The Rav Shmuel, Damitavai, because the Rav Shmuel both said, this is the appropriate einish for this type of transgression. Menadin al shnei yamim tovim shel golis. We put a person in cherem for being over on the second day Yom Tov. Amalei, Rav Yosef responded, hanei mili inish da'alma. That only applies to ordinary person. He's meant to get cherem. Ha'chatzur m'rabbananu. He was speaking about a tzurim d'rabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham, the Tavali Avdi. I did something which was appropriate to him, taking into consideration the Torah aspect, Kavarat Torah. That's why I sufficed with Malkus rather than Chir. Dibimah Rava Mimnu anagadu to the Barbe Rav. As we find in Eretz Yisrael, they would vote to give Malkus for the Barbe Rav. V'lo Mimnu Ashamta, but wouldn't go ahead and issue the Chir, taking into consideration the Kavarat Torah. You don't want to make a public scene, which would be a negation of the honor of Torah. Therefore, I as well followed suit, and I applied Malkus to this Talmud Chacham rather than Cherem. So in summary, if a person happens to find himself in a town where they observe two Yom Tovim, but he himself for some reason is not bound by that halacha, because he originated in a town where they don't keep 2 days, and he's planning going back there, can he do malacha here? B'yishuv, no, b'midbar, yes. Generally, if a person is over on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis, he's deserving of Cherem. When it comes to Talmud Chacham, you have several versions. Continues the Gemara Kayoitze Boy, HaMoylech Perishvis V'chul. So Mishnah gave us another example of this concept where a person, the traveler, comes from one town, arrives in the other, and he gets the Chumris. And the example is, let's say, he took some fruit from a town where that fruit is still readily available. It's plentiful, it's available for the animals. There's no chayv of beer, they can go ahead and consume that fruit on trees. And he happened to arrive in a town where it was cold. This specific variety has been depleted. It's no longer available for the animals out in the field. So the members of this town have to do beer on this type of fruit or vegetable. So what is his halacha? Says the Tanakhama, he has to follow suit. He can't do something different than the din of the makom. Although, where did he come from? Where are these fruits coming from? From a place where it's still available. But since he happens to find himself in a place where it's no longer available, he took it from the makom shaloi kolu. They've not yet been depleted. But he arrived in a place where it was kolu. This item has been depleted and is extinct. No longer available for the animals. According to Tanakhama, he must do beer. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Daimer. Say v'havel chafata. Gemara understands this to mean as follows. This fellow says, I don't have to do beer. You ran out of supply. You know what? You can go to the town where I brought these fruit from. Say v'havel chafata. You go there and find some fruit for yourself as well. I'm not negating you. I'm not going against the flow. The fruit in this town happened to run out. So the fruit in this town, the native fruit, is chayv and beer. But this is imported. This belongs to a different town. And in that town, there's not yet chayvas beer because it's fully available for the chayos in the southern. So he addresses their concern and he removes any machlekas considerations here. Now, it seems pretty obvious that we're not concerned with anything other than the machlekas. Right, the Mishnah told us, for instance, when it comes to keeping the Isur Malacha on Erev Pesach, a person is a traveler. He gets the Chumrei HaMokim, both locations, his former town, his current town. That's a halacha. It's a halacha consideration. The halacha of Chumrei HaMokim. Apparently, we're not concerned about that here. Because if we were, then Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't really be addressing that. The fact is, he's here. In this place, this type of fruit or vegetable needs to do beer, because it's no longer available. So he would have to follow suit. He has to adopt. He's bound by the Chumrei HaMokim. And probably we're not concerned about that. The only thing we're concerned about is machlekes. Says Rav Yehuda, machlekes? I'll address that. He'll turn to him and he'll say, well, it's fully available back in my old town. These are different fruits. It's not the same as local fruits. Therefore, he's addressing their concern. I'm not negating you. I'm not going against you. And it alleviates any machlekes concerns. Okay, so that's fine and well. Says the Rav, what happened to the halacha of Chumre HaMakom? He's here. He has to follow the din of the Makom. But lastly, Rav Yehuda did not hold of that halacha stated in the Mishnah. Noisdin Olav, Chumre HaMakom Shiyatza Misham. We give him the Chumre HaMakom of his former town, place from where he left, when we departed. V'chumre HaMakom Shalach Hasham. And likewise, he gets the Chumre of the place to which he arrived. This is a halacha. This is not just because of machlekes. He needs to adopt the minhag al-makom. So how can Rav Yehuda allow this fellow to continue eating these fruits? Amar Rav Shisha b'Rav Ravidi. You're right. Apparently, this discussion, this machlekes, is pertaining to a totally different scenario. Something which is actually not mentioned clearly in our Mishnah. It's missing. Mishnah is as though it's missing a clause here. Milsa achriti ka'amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is relating to an entirely different case. Rather than speaking about a case where there was a discrepancy between his former town and his current town. Over there, it was still available. Here, it's not. No, we're not speaking about that case. V'hochikamer. And this is how I'm meant to read the Mishnah. Tanakama says like this. Oy mimakam shalai kalu. L'makam shalai kalu. So both former and current towns have this fruit available. He came from a place where it was loikolo. It was not yet depleted. They didn't run out of this fruit. And he arrived in a place where it was loikolo. So both places, both locales, are of the same situation, same nature. V'shama shakolo b'mkayman. So what's the problem? He brought these fruits from the former town to the current town. And then he got a message. He got word that in his former town, they ran out of the supply. V'shama shakolo b'mkayman. Chayv levar. According to Tanakama, in this case, he has to do beer. So yeah, we're not speaking about Chumri HaMakom. That doesn't apply here. That halachic concept won't apply here. Why? Because look, when he left town, it was available. So there's no Chumri HaMakom Shiyatza Misham. When he arrived in this town, it was readily available. So he doesn't have Chumri HaMakom Shalach Lasham. So that concept won't apply. The only thing that's left, the only concern that remains is Machlekes. Tanakama says, the Machlekes concern obligates him to do beer because he's going against his former landsmen, his former townspeople. Because while he was here, he got a message that in his former town, they ran out of the supply and they have to do beer. He can't do different. He can't go against them. He can't negate them. It's an affront to their honor. Look, he's not sharing their plight. I'm being sensitive to them. He's doing something different. So he has to do beer. On that, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Say, Rav Yehuda turns to his former townspeople, his former neighbors. He says, look, where did I bring this fruit? I brought it to a new town, and at that town, it's available. It's fully available. So, I'm not negating. I'm not going against you. You can also go there and find fruit for yourself. This fruit that's not yet depleted in my new town. That's his way of addressing his former townspeople. I'm not being Mishana from your minhag. Look, I brought these fruits to a town where this type is available. If you want, go there and get some for yourself. Say, v'havel chafata. So the point, the chiddush here is that we don't need to address the halachic consideration of chumri hamakom. This wasn't applied here because, as we explained, when he left town, it was available. When he arrived in the new town, everything was still available. The only concern is Machlek is because something happened now. He found out that they ran out of supply in the old town. He's negating them. He's doing his own thing. He's not being sensitive to their plight. If a Tanakama says, Machlek is consideration, obligates him to do beer. Rabbi says, no. He has a way of addressing them and adequately alleviating, taking care of this Machlek is concern. Do you mean to say that Rav Yehuda is coming to be Mekel? He doesn't have to do beer? Amar Rav Elazar. Didn't Elazar say the name of his Rebbe? Rav Yehuda al-Chumra. He had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe that Yehuda was coming to be Machmer. Ella Epoch, that's more rather, just switch things around. The same scenario, but just switch the Shitas. Eine Chayv Levar, Tanakama maintains there's no need to do beer in this case. Rabbi Doimer, he does have to do beer. Say, V'havel Chaf Ata. He says that the B'nai Makim Harishan, his former townspeople, turn to him and say, look, say V'havel Chaf Ata, go find for yourself. Go find a supply. From that place, from where you took those fruit, follow Kalilu, and have been depleted in that location. So, there is a COVID concern, there's a machlokes concern, because they look at him strange. Look, where'd you bring those fruits from? Where'd you take them from? From this place, from the former town. And it's been depleted there. You can't go against us, you can't do something different. We have to do beer, you have to follow suit. You can't just do your own thing, you have to be sensitive to our plight. So that creates machlokes, and therefore Yehuda says he has to do beer. So again, according to this approach, we're speaking that he left town when it was still available. He arrived in a new town where it was still available. Sometime recently he found out that in his former town they ran out of supply. So there's no din of Chumri HaMakim, because when he left town it was available, when he arrived it was available. But there's a concern about machlokes, it's doing something different than the oil. So we have two approaches here. Who says what? It's either the Tanakama going the Chumrah, Rabbi Yehuda saying the Kula, or the other way around. Abaye Amar, he had a different approach to the Machlekes. Lo'ilam kediktani. Let's go back to the original. Let's not insert any new halachas and new clauses. The Mishnah's not missing anything, explains Tosfos. Let's go back to the wording of the Mishnah. V'ochi kamar. So the Mishnah means like this. We have a case of Oyimim Mokim Shalai Kalu, L'Mokim Shekalu. He came originally from a place. He transported this fruit or vegetable from a place where it was light color. It had not yet been depleted. It's readily available for the animals. Lomakim shakol. Where did he take this fruit? He took it to a place where it was extinct. But then he went back home and took his fruit back with him. V'yachziru l'mekayman. V'adayim l'kol. When he arrived back home, he sees plentiful. It's fully available. Light color. Eine chayv levar. There's no need to do beer. So Rashi explains that where do we see this case in our Mishnah? It's like this, because the Mishnah says that he came from a place where it was loikol, it had not been depleted. And he took the fruit to a place where it was kol, it was extinct. So he has to do beer. But we have a diuk. What does this imply? That should he have gone back and returned to his former town, there's no need to do beer. That's a dig from the wording of the Mishnah. There's no need to add any new halachas in the Mishnah. According to Abai's approach, this halacha is straightforward. It's a dig, an inference from the actual words of the Mishnah. He came from a place where it was loikol, was available, arrived in a place where it was kol, unavailable. Tanakhama says he has to do beer. We can make a dig from here. Obviously, if he goes back home and took the supply back with him, so he departed and arrived back in this town where this fruit is plentiful and available, there's no need to do beer. Why? Very simple, says Rashi, because this fruit is native to this town where there's no beer requirement. And where is he consuming it? Back in this town. So why would he have to do beer? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, he says there's still concern. Why? Say v'havel chaf ata. We tell him like this. We know this fruit originated in this town, and you return it back to this town. But what was it in the interim? During his transit, where did you go? You went through a town where it was chayv and beer, where they had no longer this type of supply. Therefore, we tell him, say v'havel chaf ata. You have to do beer because go find the supply from that town from which you came, from that transit point. For Kalalu, in that town, the supply is no longer available. So we deem it as though you're bringing fruit from a town where the supply is no longer available, and it's chayv and beer, and you're arriving in a town where it's not chayv and beer, and you have to follow the din of the town from which you departed. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. He's being machmer. Of Angra Belezer, the Rabbi Yehuda's come to be machmer, and it requires beer even in this case, due to the transit. Maskelu Ravashi, the Rabbi Yehuda, how can you understand this, the svar of Rabbi Yehuda? Just because he happened to travel through a town, that changes the halacha of the Paris? This fruit is native to this town, and where is he eating it? Back in this town. Atu agaba the chamer kaltinu. Are you going to say that the fact that the fruit is sitting on the back of the donkey while transiting through the town which no longer had this produce available, kaltinu? It was absorbed into the town and regarded as a local fruit? Why would he say that? Elam Ravashi says, Ravashi, no, apparently Rav Yehuda would not require beer in that case. Rather, the machlek is as follows. The plukta da'a tanoi. Machlek is in the Kam Rav Yehuda is revolving around the machlekes that we're going to find in the following Mishnah, also regarding beer, but in a different configuration. This none. A person takes a barrel and he puts three different types of vegetables. He's koivish shloisha kvashin. He preserves, he pickles three different types of vegetables in one barrel. Cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers. So which one is going to determine these mana beer? Suppose cucumbers are no longer available out there, but tomatoes and peppers are. So what does he do? Says the Mishnah, Koivish Shloisha Kvashin, Bechavasachas. A person pickles three different types of items in one and the same barrel. Rav Elazar Omer, Oichlan Al Rishon. He can continue eating these varieties up until the first one of the three becomes depleted. So let's say cucumbers have become extinct, has to stop eating, because although peppers and tomatoes are still available, but the tom of the cucumber has been distributed throughout the entire barrel. And he's no longer allowed to eat that, the fruit or its tom. So once the first one becomes extinct, he has to stop eating every. Rabbi Shoimer Afala Achon. He's very makel. He says he can wait until the last one is no longer available. Taz explains. Shoh holds that the tam is called mevoyer. Beer only applies to the actual fruit. But just a tam, it's as though it was destroyed. It's not something attacked. So even if you have the cucumbers added tomatoes, which need beer, but he can still continue eating all three of them. Why? Because the last item, the peppers, are still available. And not only is the pepper mutter, but the flavor, the taste coming from that pepper, which has been distributed throughout the entire barrel, which is found in the cucumber and tomato as well, allows them to be eaten. Tais explains, we learn from the pasuk, umin hasada, that even if just part of it is muta, is available, then part of the fruit, even the flavor that was imported from the other fruit, is still available for the animal, so the entire fruit is still muta. As long as part of it's available, you can eat it. So could you be sure you can wait until the last one? Shamgam Lil Omer, straightforward. He says, each min at a time, called Shakala Minim and Asada, whichever min became extinct in the field, Yivar Minim and Achavis. He has to remove that min from the Chavis. So once cucumbers are extinct, remove them from the barrel. Tomatoes, tomatoes. Peppers, peppers. And apparently he's not concerned about the tam of the cucumber which landed in the tomatoes. Valach Gedvarav, and that's how Locha follows. Explains Rashi, this Machlekes will apply to our Mishnah as well. Machlekes in Tanakam Rav Yehuda is pertaining to this case. We have a barrel, many different types of fruit or vegetable, pickling in this barrel. According to the Tanakam, he's Mekel. He follows Rabbi Shua Shita. He says, Eichlan, Afala Achrin, until the last one becomes extinct, continue eating. According to Rav Yehuda, he's Machmer. He says, Save Avel Chaf Ata, go find this min. Cucumbers are gone, you have to stop eating cucumbers. Tomatoes are extinct, you have to do beer on tomatoes. So he follows Shitzron Malil, that each min is regarded separately. Ravina Omar, he had a different approach to Machlekes in our Mishnah. Plukta Da'ani Tanoi. It's revolving around the Machlekes in the following Mishnah. It's not. Oichlan B'tmarim, At Sheichle Achen Shebetzor. To what point can one eat dates in the Yehuda district of Eretz Yisrael? So three provinces. The upper one was Galil, middle one Eber HaYarden, and the lower district was called Yehuda. So one can continue eating dates throughout the entire area of Yehuda, as long as there's still some dates available anywhere within that province. One can continue eating dates in the Yehuda province on Shemitah until the last date has been depleted in the town of Tzoyer, which is Yericho, where there's a steady, plentiful supply of dates. So until it's been completely depleted from that area of Yehuda, you can continue eating throughout the entire Yehuda. More soon will tell us that the Chayis will go ahead and access any fruit throughout the entire province. So it's still considered available to the animals within Yehuda. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Oichlin al Shel Bein HaKippin. Rashi explains, the wind will come and shear off some of the dates. Some of them will end up in leaves, the branches. That's the Bein HaKippin. Some of them will drop down Bein HaShitzin, between the thorns growing around the base of the palm tree. Says Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, until what point do we consider the dates to be accessible to the animals? Until what point can one eat dates? Up until the point that you know that there are still dates available Bein HaKippin amongst the branches. Oichlin al Shel Bein HaKippin, ve'ein oichlin al Shel Bein HaShitzin. But once the Bein HaKippin no longer available, have been depleted, and all that we have left is the dates sitting between the sheets, between the thorns on the bottom, those aren't really accessible. They're behind the thorns. So one cannot continue eating based on the dates found amongst the thorns. So that's the Machloikis in that Mishnah. Tanakama maintains, there's no concern, you can eat as long as there's something available, even amongst the thorns. Shulam Gamliel says, no. Only if it's Bein HaKippin, but Bein HaShitzin, it's not considered accessible and available to the animals, and you must stop eating. Explains Rashi, that very same Machloikis will have an Al Mishnah. He's not the Kama Rebut. Tanakama says, you can continue eating on account of the dates found Bein HaShitzin as well. Rebut disagrees. Say, Vahavel Chaf Ata, go find it, go bring it, go see if it's accessible. If it's only Bein HaShitzin, it's not considered accessible, and he must stop eating his dates. So, conclusion, we have five ways to explain Machlekes between Tanakam and Rebut and Al Mishnah. According to the first approach, this fellow transported Paris from a location where it was like coal, not yet depleted. There's no chiv beer. And he arrived in his new town where, as well, it was like kolo. Still available. So there's no din of chumri ha-makam. But there's a concern about machlekes. Because what happened was, he heard that in his former town, they ran out of the supply. Kuntanakama, he must do beer to go along with the crowd. Don't deviate from the minute, from the practice, being practiced currently in your former town. There's no need to do beer. He turns to him and says, look, you can find this variety. Go to the town where I'm found, and you'll find fruit. So as long as he addresses that personal aspect, he doesn't have to worry about machlekes. Quote, the next approach in the Gemara, it's the same case, but switched around. Tanakama is machmer, Rebuta is mekel. Sorry, Tanakama is mekel, Rebuta is machmer. Tanakama does not require beer, Rebuta says you have to do beer. Quote, the next approach in the Gemara, we got a unique case. He left a town where it was leikol, had not yet been depleted. He traveled through a town where it was kolu, and arrived back in his former town where it was leikol. So he came and he arrived back in a location where there's no chiv beer, but he transited through a place where there's a chiv beer. Tanakama says, there's no need to do beer because this fruit is native to this town and it's being eaten in this town. Since he transited through a town where beer applies, then these fruits that were there are chayv and beer. Quote, the next approach was speaking that he had three different types of vegetables being pickled together. And that's the point of machlokes. Quote, Tanakama, you can continue eating up until the last min in this barrel has been depleted. According to Rabbi Yehuda, each min is reckoned on its own. So when the cucumbers are gone, so stop the cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers. According to the final approach, discussion between Rabbi and Tanakama revolves around up until what point can a person eat dates. According to Tanakama, as long as you still find some dates being ashitzen amongst the thorns, that's enough to allow continued eating. According to Yehuda, only being keeping up in the branches are considered available for the animals, but down in the shitzen, that's considered to be out of reach, and he cannot continue eating on account of those dates. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hassan, we learned in a Mishnah in Shavuos. Shalosh Arotzos Labir. There are three sections of Eretz Yisrael, three Arotzos pertaining to the halacha of Bir. Three provinces, Yehuda, which is the lower section of Eretz Yisrael, Be'er Yarden, the midsection, the Galil, and the upper section. So as Rashi explains, how does this apply to Bir? So for instance, a person can continue eating apples in the Yehuda province, as long as there's still some apples available anyway within that province. The same thing regarding Eretz Yarden. Same thing regarding Gol. But you can't eat in Yehuda relying on pears in Gol or in Eretz Yarden. Each Eretz is looked at on its own, has its own time frame for beer. Continues the Mishnah. V'sholosh Arotzes v'chol achas v'achas. You meant to know that each one of these Arotzes, Yehuda, Eretz Yarden, and Gol, have each one has three subsections, three districts within it, pertaining to climate and terrain and food availability, which varies district by district. If that's the case, v'lama amru shalosh arotzes l'bir. So why does the Mishnah say that we only have three when it comes to beer? We actually have nine. Meaning, how can you say that there are only three? You can eat in Yehuda relying on anything found throughout Yehuda. What happened to the fact that Yehuda is meant to be subdivided into sections? And each section has its own unique time frame. Says the Mishnah, no. She'u oichlin m'chol achas v'achas. Because Allah is that indeed you can eat throughout the entire Eretz, entire Yehuda, entire Gol, entire Eretz Yarden, ad she'ichla achan shabah, until there's no longer any produce, any apples found in the last of its subdivisions. Meaning we don't view each one independently, each subdivision independently. We look at Yehuda in totality and continue eating your apples as long as there are any apples available anywhere in Yehuda, even in a different district other than the one in which he's located. So on the one hand we say that the fruit must be available within your area, within your province. You can't rely on a different province. But at the same time we say you can rely on a different district. But not immediately. How do we learn this? How do you know that you say this and not that? Amar Avchamar Bar Ukva, Amar Yehesi Bachanina. Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, then a person may eat, partake in the Perish Shvius. We learn from there that the two things are related. As long as there's some fruit available for the animal out in the field, you'll have to feed your domestic animal at home. Once the food's been depleted, no longer available for the animal out in the field, then you have to cease from using the fruit. You can't feed it to the animal at home. So beer is contingent upon availability for animals in the wild. Ugmir, we have a Kabbalah tradition. An animal in Yehuda, that section of Eretz Yisrael, will not go ahead and sustain itself from the Paris in a different province, in Gol. Rashi says, doesn't travel that far. Others explain that he sticks to his own habitat, doesn't travel to a different province. Vein chayish begol, likewise an animal in Gol won't live off Gdela al Perish Yehuda. That's why each Eretz has its own distinct halacha. You can only feed your behemah, you can only consume Perish Shvius if this type of produce is still available to an animal within your province. So apples may be eaten in Yehuda as long as there's something available throughout Yehuda. We can't rely on Gadol because the animal won't travel there to get its apple and it's considered no longer accessible. However, within the province itself, an animal won't hesitate to live off the produce found in a different section, a different division, still close enough in nature to attract him. That explains the mission. As long as there's some apples available in your province, you're okay. Even if it's in a different district. Because an animal will go ahead and access that produce. But in a different Eretz, that's inaccessible, and you can't eat your produce here based on the apples elsewhere. Let's see Rashi inside. So if we count 14 lines from the top, we'll see the Rashi begins with the word Shalosh Arotis. So the three Arotis bears Yisrael, Chaluku, Zu, Mazul, and Ibir that are separate with regard to Bittul. She'enzu Samechas HaShalzu Mishikolubo. Once there is no longer food available on this area, in this Aretz, you can't rely on the other Aretz. Vafu Bishalai Kol B'chaveret, even though it hadn't yet depleted from the other area. That's a general Shalosh Arotis, three provinces. Then we have subdivisions, Vesholosh Arotis, Pachlachas V'achas, pertaining to climate, nature. Shechalukas Minag Kim Perisayim. They have characteristics with regards to food availability. Sheperisayim Kolei Shalzu, Koidim Lazu. Sometimes you have some fruit which disappear from one subdivision and is still available in the other district. Vafa Pikein. And even so, Asinu Kulon Achas Lebir, Kedemfash Vazel. We bundle them all up together. We consider all subdivisions as though they're one and the same area. If that's the case, why? Since each one has three subdivisions, you have a total of nine. So why does the Mishnah make reference to merely three lands pertaining to beer? We really have nine, with nine different time frames. The answer is no. Chachamim regarded the three districts within the Aretz k'ilu en hachas, as though they're one in the same area. And one is allowed to eat anyway within these three subdivisions, until there's no longer any apples available in the last remaining division. Yehuda, for instance, you can eat in Yehuda, as long as there's something available anyway within Yehuda, within its three subdivisions. But not really. How do we know? There's a chiddush. The oichel b'Yehuda at sheichlem acharon shabashal shavat shabba. On one hand, you say one can continue eating apples throughout Yehuda as long as there's still something available anywhere within the Eretz of Yehuda, even though it's in a different land, a different subdivision, a different district. So that's one side of the coin. Aval ein oichel b'Yehuda, but you cannot eat in Yehuda, relying on ali de oisin shabagalu. Relying on the produce found in Gol, what's the difference? The Gemara says, we learn from the Pasuk, it needs to be available to the Chayes HaSad. Ugmiri, we have a Mesoris Mavisenu, the in Chayes of Yehuda, Mr. Achech, it's Holkach, it won't travel to the point of going out from Yehuda, let's from Yehuda, the Gol, to travel from one arts to the other. Umigol Yehuda, Aval Yoitzi, Migol Gol, it will travel from one district within Gol to the other district. Umiyuda Yehuda, or from one district in Yehuda to the other district. So as long as it's still available anyway within this whole province, you can continue eating your food. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Peiris Sheyotzu Me'Eretz Yisrael L'Chutz La'aretz. What about if some of the Peiris Shvias were taken out of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz? And what happened? The time of beer arrived. So according to Rashi, beer means he has to go ahead and be mafkirit, laid out for the animals out in the field. According to Tosfos, not necessarily does he have to give it to the animals. As long as he makes it hefker, it's no longer his, that's okay. So he has the Peiros of Eretz Yisrael, and he's in Chutz La'aretz. Time of beer arrives. Mizbarin b'chol makom shein. You can do beer wherever they are. You don't have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, no. Yachzru l'mekoyman, mizbaru. You have to go back home. Take him back to Eretz Yisrael and then do beer. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Barzach. Which indicates that you have to give it back to the animals, back in Eretz Yisrael. It belongs to them. So you can't do beer in Chutz La'aretz. You have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to come, you can do beer right here. Shimon Lozner has to go back home. Says the Gemara, Ha'afikte. But didn't we already use the word Baratzecha for a different drasha? To teach us that the people in Yehuda can only rely on fruit found in their arts. Baratzecha. So this pasuk is already used. It's not available for this new chiddush. Could really be Baratz, Baratzecha. I could have said Baratz. And it says Baratzecha. So that teaches us both chiddushim. Perhaps Baratz is teaching that it has to go back to Eretz Yisrael. And Baratzecha, that you can only rely on your province. Inami, another pshat, me asher baratzach. It says asher baratzach, asher seems to be an extra word. That's coming to teach us this additional halach. Rav Safar Nofak Meretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz. Rav Safar left Eretz Yisrael, went to Chutz Laretz. Hava Ba'adei Garba Dechamra, the Shvius. He was carrying with him a jug of Shvius wine. Lavu Ba'adei, and he was accompanied by these two individuals, Rav Huna Breda Rav Ika, and Rav Kahana. And they were both Talmidim of Rabbi Avo. Amalu, so now the time for beer arrives. And Rav Safar wants to know whether he can do beer here, does he have to go back to Eretz Yisrael? Amrlu, so he turned to them, he said, Ika de Shmi Alei Minei, Rabbi Avo. Perhaps did one of you hear from your Rebbe, Rabbi Avo? Halacha k'rav Shimon b'Elazar Arloi, whether or not we paskin like Shimon b'Elazar, that the produce has to go back to Eretz Yisrael for beer, or perhaps halacha like Tana Kama, and I can do beer here. Amrlu Rav Kahana, Hachi Amr Avo, the Rebbe Rav Avo said like this, Halacha k'rav Shimon b'Elazar, yeah? You have to do beer back in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rav Huna, Beit Rav Ika. So the other Talmud said, no. Hachi Amar Ravo, Ein Halacha. Kim Shimon Lazar. So his version was that no, Ravo said, Halacha does not follow Shimon Lazar. We pass like Tana Kama, and you're able to do beer wherever you are, even in Chutz Laretz. So which way was Rav Safar going to follow? Which version was he going to adopt? The machlokes regarding the shita of Rabbi Avo, Amar Rav Safra, nokoid haklala the Rav Huna biyatcha. He meant to adopt the version of Rav Huna. He's more reliable, and we assume that indeed Rabbi Avo ruled like Rav Shimon Lazar, like a Tana Kama, and beer can take place anywhere. Why do I prefer Rav Huna over the other man, the Amar Rav Kahana? So he says, the Dayik, the Gomer Shmaitzim Pumi the Rabbi. Because Rav Huna is very meticulous, very medayik, when it comes to learning the Shmaitza, the Pumi the Rabbi, from the mouth of his Rabbi. Rashi explains that he asks him to repeat, to get things clear and accurate. And therefore, his version is probably more reliable. Keruchavet Pumbadisa, as we find a similar concept by this Chacham named Ruchava from Pumbadisa, who's also very meticulous and very exact in his Kabbalah from his Rebbe. The Omer Rechava, as we find the Rechava says, Omer Rebbe Yudah, name of Rebbe Yudah. Harabayis, stav kafal haya. The Harabayis was described as a double stav. Stav is something which is surrounded by benches and canopies. Stav lefnim stav. It was one row inside the other. And you see that he preferred using the language of his Rebbe, although in the Mishnayis it's described as itztaba, but he preferred stav because that's how his Rebbe expressed it. So he was very medayik to listen and to say over exactly the way Rebbe said it. And likewise, Rav Huna is also very medayik in the way he is makabel the Torah from his Rebbe. Let's assume that his version is correct. And therefore, Rav Safar allowed himself to do the beer in Chutz Laretz. Currently, Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef applied and called out the following pasuk on Rav Safra. He didn't like what he heard, that he was being makel. The pasuk says, "Ami be'etzah yishol." My nation will get advice from the etzah, from his wood, from his avodah zarah, wood of avodah zarah. U'makli yagdlein, his rod will instruct him. The rod used for the magic. So he made a play on words. U'makli yagdlein, kol ha'makel, loy. Whoever conveys a kula, a leniency to him, magadloi, he approves, he consents. So he wasn't happy with the fact that Rav Kahana, Rav Safar adopted the kula version of the Talmud Rav Huna. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Loi cuts kafnaisa de shvis. Rabbi Loi chopped off a palm tree. So sometimes you can actually cut a fruit tree, for instance, if the value of the wood outvalues the value of the fruit. So he went ahead and cut a palm tree. But the problem is it was shvius. The pasuk says, Peiros shvius are given for la'achla, strictly for eating purposes. Can't do business, can't destroy it. So Rabbi Loi cuts, he chopped off kafnaisa, a palm tree which had unripe dates. So kafnaisa is immature dates, the shvius. How was he allowed to do that? Torah says, Peir Shvi is meant to be eaten. Not to be destroyed. How can he go ahead and be mafsed the Peir Shvi is? Perhaps you'll say, Hanimili, this restriction, Isra of Hefzad only applies when we have real fruit. When the fruit has already developed and matured, then it's considered fruit. You can't destroy it. But when it's still pre-maturity state, it's not yet a proper fruit. Why? Perhaps this doesn't apply. That's why he allowed himself to cut off this palm tree. Says, well, really? Is that so? V'omar of Nachman, omar rabba avor. Hani, mitchali darla. Mitchali is some type of membrane, some type of cover, husk, over, around the dates when they're still young and unripe. So they have this mitchali material that covers them. So if the dates happen to be arla, not only is the fruit itself asr, but the shomer, the thing that safeguards and wraps the fruit, is also considered part of the isr. Because the shomer of a priest is also included in the isr of arla. We learn from a pasuk. So hani mitchali d'arla, these husks, these memories that surround and protect the arla fruit when it's still unripe, because it doesn't last long. As soon as the date starts developing, the mitchali falls off. So it's only a temporary phenomenon. Ah, siri. They're also us on account of arla. Why? Hoyel v'nasu shemel peri. Because they become a shomer. They're considered to be something which safeguards the pri. And a shomer has the same din as the pri with respect to arla. Now, let's analyze. He's calling these membranes a shomer to a pri. V'shemel peri emes hava. When? When is it referring to? When is the mitchali serving as a shomer to the peri? The kufri. When it's still unripe and undeveloped. Because they don't want to force off. And we see that Rav Nachman refers to this unripe date as a peri. That's why the mitchali are considered arla, because it's a shomer to a peri. Were it not a real peri, then it wouldn't have a shomer. So apparently, even an unripe date, undeveloped date, is considered a peri. So getting back to Rabbi Loi, how was he mafsid? How could he allow himself to chop off that tree and be mafsid the undeveloped dates? Says the Gemara, there are two different shittas here. Rav Nachman, who considers the unripe dates as fruit, Damak Rabbi Yosi, he follows Rabbi Yosi, who says that even an unripe fruit is still considered a pri. But the Rabban disagree. What do we see, Rabbi Yosi? It's not Rabbi Yosi, I'm smother asr. Smother is when the grape begins to bud, you have the blossom which falls off. So right then, even though it hadn't really developed much, that's already considered a peri, and if it's arla, it's asr. Smother asr, v'peishu peri. It's considered a peri, even though it's still in its early stage, very early stage of development. Upligi rabban ale. Rabban disagree. They hold that a grape has to develop up to a certain point to be reckoned with. So there's no kasha from Rab Nachman. He follows Rabbi Yosi. Therefore he says even something unripe is considered a peri. Whereas Rabbi Loi followed Rabbanan, who hold that unripe and underdeveloped dates and grapes are not reckoned with and are not considered a peri. Therefore, he allowed them to become destroyed. Maskeflor of Simar Nardo. So here's the kash like this. Is that so? That other than grapes, where we had a Mishnah here, or as we're going to see soon, when it comes to olives, carob, those are exceptions. But other than those unique species, everything else regarding other fruits, what do you find that the Rabban disagree with Rabbi Yosi? Perhaps they agree, and we're going to see in the Mishnah, it's pretty clear that they do agree to Rabbi Yosi. That once the fruit has begun even somewhat its development stage, even just a teeny weeny bud, is already considered a fruit. So how can we go cut down the unripe dates? Whom we plead Rabbanan later Rabbi Yosi, Shari Lanas. Do we find then that Rabbanan disagreed with Rabbi Yosi when it comes to other types of fruits, other types of trees? Well, it's not. We have a Mishnah which indicates that they don't. They agree that even a small, teeny fruit is considered a fruit. But it's not. We learned in the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Shvius again. V'motzai in koitzin seilonis. B'shvius. From what point onward may a person no longer cut down the fruit tree on Shvius? When do we consider it to be a fruit? At one point, b'shamei omrim, kol ha'ilonis v'shiyatziu. All fruit trees are one and the same. As soon as they start producing, even if they're just teeny fruit, it's barely discernible. That's considered a fruit, and you cannot cut down that tree any longer. Depends. We have three exceptions. Hacharuvin, when it comes to carob, you have to have more developed carob. Once they begin to appear like chains, so they're longer and a bit more developed. Hakafanim, when it comes to vines, mishiagriu. Once they've grown to a certain point. Vazesim, mishianitsu, olives. As soon as they have the nates, some sort of membrane, some sort of cover, which grows on the olive. So when it comes to these three, carob, charuvin, anovim, zesim, need to have some form of development to be reckoned with. Ushar kailanus, mishiatziu. But certainly when it comes to other types of fruit trees, as soon as the fruit is just barely discernible, that's already considered a fruit, and you can no longer cut down that tree. Now let's analyze the Mishnah here. So let's say, when it comes to gefanim, comes to the vines, how large a grape must it be to be reckoned with? Mishiyah griu. So that's girua. What size is that? Vamar vasi. He meant to know that there are three terms which are synonymous. Hu boiser, hu girua, hu pulalavan. So all three are one and the same. Boiser, and girua, and pulalavan. Pulalavan is some type of bean. Pulalavan kasal kataitach. How can you say that boiser and girua, which refer to grapes, is pulalavan? Pulalavan is a bean. Al-eim no, rather, what he meant to say is shi'uru iki pulalavan. That the boiser term, the girua term as well, are all references to certain stage of development, certain size. Once the grape has arrived at the size of a pulalavan. So that's pshat beisilo. When it comes to charuvin, it needs to form chains. When it comes to grapes, you need to have a shear, a size of pulalavan. When it comes to olives, it needs to be shianitsu. So we need an advanced stage of development. But when it comes to other fruit trees, even just barely discernible fruit are considered. Uman shamas leit amar, boiser in smodaloi. Who is the shita that holds that grapes are not considered, not reckoned with, if they're merely smodar? Right? Unlike Rabbi Yesu, who said that even smada, even just a small-sized bud, once the blossom dropped, it's considered a peri. But the Rabbanu say, no, boiser in. Only once it's boiser, it's already arrived at a further stage in its development. Only that's considered a peri. Who's that shita? Rabbanu. Right? The shita is Rabbanu. So apparently Beisilo, who insists on a large-sized grape, is reflecting shita is Rabbanu. And Beisilo tell us, that only when it comes to these three unique types, the carob, grape, and the olive, then it has to be larger in size to be reckoned with. The Rash clearly says, perhaps when it comes to grapes, since it's meant for juice production, same thing with olives, it needs to be larger in size to have that function and have the chashivas. So it's unique to these three things. But when it comes to other types of fruit trees, Uktani, and Basil says, Sharka lilanis v'shiyatziu. When it comes to other types, as long as it just began producing and the fruit is barely discernible, it's considered a peri. And can no longer chop down that tree. So getting back to Reloi, how did he allow himself to cut off that palm tree with the undeveloped dates? Even if it's undeveloped, when it comes to dates, as soon as it's something, it's already considered a peri. Even according to Shita Rabbanan. Ella rather says the Gemara, Rabbi Loi, bidinus chanikats. The palm tree that was chopped off by Rabbi Loi was of the male variety. Rashi says it was Dekel Zohar, whose dates will not ripen regardless. So what they do is they take off, they pick the unripe dates, place them in a basket, allow them to ripen. So there's no benefit in having this tree sit there with the unripe dates, which will remain unripe throughout. Therefore, by cutting off this palm tree, he wasn't mafsid. He didn't damage and harm anything. Because he can still take off those unripe dates, place them in a basket, and have them ripe. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. So we learned that if a person finds himself in a place where they keep 2 days yom tov, but he himself, for some reason, does not observe 2 days yom tov, What am I doing malach? Be yishuv, refrain. But midbar, you can do so. We learned about the machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, we had five approaches to understand the machlekes. We proceeded with the halacha of beer, the three separate aratzes, because the animal will roam throughout the entire Eretz to find his nourishment. We learned about Peir Shvi'is that were taken out of Eretz Yisrael. And the Zman beer arrives, according to Shimon Lazar, to bring it back home and do beer, according to Anakama. He can be a vire where he is. And the one concluded, Peir Shvi'is are meant for eating and not for destruction. We had the Shita of the Beshamai, Shita of Beshilo, and we explained why Reloy chopped off that palm tree, because there was no damage done in any case. Be well, take care, Atzlacha Rabba.